Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
You know, nothing like the weekend generic intro here at 95.7 The Game to get the juices flowing and make you feel so special.
That's all we need, baby.
High noon on a Saturday. You know the voice. You know the sultry pipes of Tommy Cole,
yes,
ladies
sir.
And gentlemen. And I'm just some jabroni named Ryan Covey, and I'll be taking you.
That's how you want to label it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with it. You know, you can throw your labels on me, your hurtful innuendos. Mm. It's fine. I'll just rise above it. It's just, it's fuel for me.
Gotcha.
When they're hating, they're motivating.
You're like the Richard Sherman of 95.7 The Game. You go out there and perform, and you embrace the hate.
Straight
up, rise to it.
Straight up mercenary status. Yeah. But all the while, maybe people don't even realize how subtly I'm changing the culture here, you know?
Gotcha, yeah.
And just putting my fingerprints on it.
You've had a few Super Bowl runs in your day.
You know, and I'm glad to do it. Came from the enemy. I mean, you know, the parallels are just so prominent. All right. We are now, 27 hours away?
Okay.
From the NFC title game? I mean, we're just tick-tock.
Math.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Like, 3 o'clock kickoff, 24 hours at 3. Bada-boom, bada-bing.
Yeah. I'm not much of a math guy. I just look to you for those kind of things.
I'm a big basic arithmetic guy.
Gotcha.
Anything beyond that, I'm out on that. Yeah. All right, so
our producer went to Cal, so we can look to him for that kind of thing.
For sure. I mean, normally I got to work with Lucas, who went to SC. Fight on! Yeah. But no, today we're keeping it NorCal style. Always in the Pac-12, though. I remember when it was the Pac-8, bro. That's
really?
Yeah. And then it became the Pac-10.
Yeah.
Because you had Mac-10, and then you had the Pac-10.
I think the Pac-10... It just sounds so good.
It does.
It just sounds like a football
But
conference.
See, I think they shouldn't call it the Pac-12. It should be the 12-pack.
Oh.
Come on, baby.
Like,
let's market this
Every time. I'm telling
you. Market this thing.
It's something I need to create a journal, because every time I'm on the air with Ryan Covey, I just learn something new, and it's usually just an idea.
I try and sprinkle you, Tommy.
You do.
And we try and put things out there for the listeners to make them maybe think a little bit. Let's think about this NFC title game tomorrow. This is such an opportunity for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and this regime.
Yeah.
Dare I say the Yorks, and then all the way down to the players, guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, to really substantiate and validate the progress that this organization has made the last 3 years. And, you know, Butch and I were talking about this last night in the Butcher Shop weeknight 6 to 10, 95.7 The Game. Definitely want to check it out. Butch and I doing work. The fact that Jimmy had the torn ACL last year and then the fact that we are where we are right now, it's almost like he like crammed for the exam this year, because we expected them to take a step last year, but nobody expected the 49ers. Even if Jimmy had stayed healthy, nobody expected the 49ers to be in the NFC title game, not even a playoff team probably.
Mm-hmm.
But you hope by, you know, year two of Jimmy and year three of the Kyle Shanahan regime, that's when you start to see the real progress. Well, despite the fact that Jimmy tore the ACL last year, we're right on schedule. Here we are. It's year three for Shanny, and these guys got a chance to be 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl. It's pretty impressive.
And you bring up Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think that is the guy you know, you listed off a few guys. That's the guy I'm looking at, because in San Francisco, with the quarterbacks that have played here and have won here, to be considered part of that group, you have to do it in the playoffs, right? And I think this is his first opportunity to really have a step to take towards that, I think, like that greatness level of quarterbacks here in San Francisco, Bay Area quarterbacks. Because even against the Minnesota Vikings, right, they kind of – if it was all the pressure was on them, you can't lose that game against the sixth seed in that position. That was a handle business type of game. I think here's where you take that next step against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were talking before the show. And by the way, Ross Tucker, our radio.com NFL insider, is going to join us in just a hot second. We get him on the line. I love talking to Ross.
He's
a big fan of the movie Kingpin, too, which I just adore. So we'll talk to him. But you're right. I think quarterback play here in San Francisco, because of, you know, the lineage of this franchise, going back to John Brody, and then obviously with Joe Montana and ultimately Steve Young and company. It just means more here in the Bay Area. And joining us now, the aforementioned Ross Tucker, our radio.com sports NFL insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire, and you can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out now on radio.com/home, or just search the radio.com app. Ross, Ryan Covey, and Tommy Call, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I am doing fantastic. What's going on is I just landed in your wonderful city about 25 minutes ago. So your guy Sam timed this up perfectly.
Awesome.
Flew from Philadelphia here this morning. I'm on sideline tomorrow.
Woo!
Westwood.
Wow.
Hopped in an Uber and on my way down to Santa Clara, I'm talking with you guys. By the way, the Uber driver speaks, I believe, Chinese into his phone, and it spits out English to me, and it's unbelievable. I've never seen that before. It's amazing.
Wow, welcome to the Bay Area. If befitting that you're headed down to Silicon Valley, you know, the home of innovation, and really welcome to the future, Ross. Welcome to right now in 2020. That's life in the Bay. That's just how we're living out here. Give me your general feeling about this game. I mean, you know, coming into the Vikings game, it was, you know, the pressure's on the 49ers. You got to get the job done, and you know, now it's, hey, they already beat the Packers once, and you know, my partner and I were talking before the show, it seems like, you know, the 49ers fans expect a win tomorrow, and boy, expect a win against Aaron Rodgers and see how far that takes you.
Well, I mean, they're 7.5-point favorites, the game's at home, so I understand why Niners fans are expecting a win. I gotta tell you, I was very surprised by last Saturday. Very surprised. After the way the Vikings had played in New Orleans. And really, over the last 5 or 6 weeks of the regular season, I know the Niners still did a lot of winning, but they weren't running it quite as well. The D-line wasn't as dominant as they had been the first 12 weeks of the season or so. You know, they lost the Falcons. They barely beat teams like the Saints, Rams, Seahawks. I kind of thought that Vikings-Niners game was going to be awesome. I told people to take the Vikings and the points, which shows you how much I know. It's like the offensive line and the run game, as well as the D-line, both totally awakened, and it was almost like undefeated Niners all over again. If they can do that again tomorrow, forget about it. They're going to win. I do think, though, that people are underrating the Packers a little bit. It's kind of weird to me that the Packers can finally win games with their running game. They can finally win games with their defense. They still have Aaron Rodgers. They're 14-3, and yet everybody acts like they stink. I don't get it. I mean, any other year, if Aaron Rodgers had a running game and a defense like this, we'd be saying they're the favorite.
I completely agree with you, Ross. I think it's fascinating hearing some of the fan base here, and I think you'll find out, you know, spending some time in the Bay Area, how they feel about Aaron Rodgers. And I think a lot of that comes from the last time they met. You know, you've played before. You've been in an NFL locker room. Has it ever come up across your career where your team has crushed an opponent and maybe seen them later in the season? What's that like the second time around preparing in such a big level? I mean, do you put a lot of stock in the last time you played them? Is that the vibe? Because I think that if you're looking at the 49ers' last game against this team, it's, you know, you don't want to think about that because it was such a perfect game for the 49ers.
Well, I do think it's hard. It's hard to not be confident, and you want to be confident. But whether, you know, no matter how much Kyle Shanahan says, don't take these guys lightly or whatever, and I know that they won't, deep down, they still remember that game. And they still remember kicking some serious butt. Like, I can remember 2003, we beat the Patriots 31-0 in the opener. And then the last game of the year, we played them again. They beat us 31-0.
A little symmetry there.
Hopefully that's not the case for you guys tomorrow. I don't think it'll be. I think it's going to be an awesome game. I'm a little surprised that the betting line is 7.5 points. It's weird. I have in addition to Home and Home on the radio.com app, which I love every day, I also once a week have a sports betting podcast. It's called Even Money on the radio.com app. And what I did this week, just to tell you how I feel about this game, I told my listeners to take the Packers and the points, but I also teased down both the Chiefs and the Niners to 1.5. And I think there's a real good chance for me to win both those bets. I think there's a real good chance for me to middle it. I think that the Niners probably win by 3, 4, 5, 6 points. I think it's a good game. They ultimately get the better of the Packers up front, both sides of the ball, but they win by a small amount. I'd be really surprised if they blow out the Packers. If they blow out the Packers, wow. This Niners team is better than I think they are.
Yeah, and you're right. A lot of what we saw last week against Minnesota, the defense being as dominant as they were, Ross, kind of took us back to early parts of the season when they were healthy. And, you know, let me ask you this. And by the way, we are talking to Ross Tucker, our radio.com sports NFL insider, Ryan Colvin, Tommy Call. How much having guys like Dee Ford and Quan Alexander, how much of an impact do you think that had on the game last week, just having those guys back in there and just when you roll out in, you know, out of the locker room feeling like, man, we are at full strength today. We got every cylinder in this engine ready to hum.
I think there's three factors. One, it's sort of the psychological that we got two of our dudes back. I mean, think of it like you're going into a fight, right? It's pretty awesome if you have two more dudes with you. You know what I mean? Especially dudes that look like Quan Alexander and Dee Ford. So I think part of it's psychological. We got our guys back. I also think part of it's just real. I mean, especially Dee Ford, you add him to what they already have with Bosa and DeForest Buckner and Armstead, and you add him in, that goes a long way. And then the last thing, I just think having a week off is huge. I just think D-line – more than any other position, it's an energy position. It's almost like, you know, a hockey team that hasn't played in a couple nights or a basketball team that's coming off a day off. You know, they just have more juice. They just have more in their legs. That's what happens when you get that bye like they had.
Ross, what did you think of Jimmy Garoppolo in this last game? I mean, he was 11 for 19, didn't really have to do much. Does that kind of worry you at all that he didn't have that big performance in his first playoff game as a starter?
I'm not worried about that. I'm more concerned about how he plays in this game. I mean, I thought he got off to a really good start. They went down. That first touchdown drive was bing, bang, boom, right down the field, all play-action passes. You know, Shanahan had some great plays dialed up for Zimmer to start that game. And I thought Jimmy looked really sharp. You know, he has had a tendency at times to lose some of the second-level defenders and throw them the ball like he did to Eric Kendricks. And obviously that's the biggest thing he needs to stay away from. I also think, though, you know, they probably could have done more in the passing game last week, but Kyle Shanahan, smart enough to know, number one, we got a big lead. Number two, our defense is playing awesome. And number three, we're running the ball well. Let's keep doing that. Why give him a chance by potentially throwing a pick? And why slow the game down, you know, by having incomplete passes? Let's chuck it and let's run it, I should say, and get the clock done and get out of here without any injuries.
Ross, has it surprised you just how quickly things have meshed with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? I mean, Aaron just seems, you know, kind of moody, I guess. Some days you get these really thoughtful, insightful quotes from him. Other days you can tell he just doesn't want to really talk to anybody. And, you know, I know the relationship with him and McCarthy was rocky at times. But, hey, year one, here they are finding themselves 13-3 in the NFC title game with a handful of house's money at this point. Has it surprised you how quick it's gelled with those two?
I think moody is a good way to describe Aaron. And I think it's hard to really know what he's thinking, what he thinks of people. I think his default is probably to not like someone until proven otherwise.
Sure. Prove to me you're not a moron.
On
yeah.
The field, yeah. And as for on the field, I don't know if I would sit here and say that they've clicked. You know, I mean, you think about that first Niners game. They didn't click then. Even the Lions game I watched a couple weeks ago, week 17. I mean, they certainly clicked last week against the Seahawks, who decided to not have a good plan to stop Davante Adams. Let's hope, for your guys' sake, Saleh has a better plan for Davante Adams than the Seahawks did. But I'm not even sure I'd go so far as to say they really have clicked yet.
Ross, if there was a way that you see this game unfolding where the 49ers lose the game, that doesn't have Aaron Rodgers exploding. If the Packers are going to win this game and Aaron Rodgers just has an average game, what has to happen for them?
Packers get the lead. What has to happen is the Packers get the lead. their ferocious D-line, they are legit. They dominate the Niners' offensive line, especially Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
Stuff the run, make the Niners have to throw it, and Jimmy Garoppolo gets sacked a few times, throws a couple picks, or has a strip sack. That's the formula. If Rodgers doesn't go off and have a great game, the formula would be the Packers get a lead, and the Niners feel like they have to throw to come back. And in doing so, the Packers' D-line is able to do to the Niners' O-line what the Niners' D-line usually does to people.
All right, Ross, we'll get you out of here on this one. We appreciate you coming on. I know you're traveling. Kyle Shanahan has obviously made a lot of headway 3 years now as a head coach in the NFC title game. To punch his ticket to the Super Bowl, in year three with this team, considering everything that they had working against them when they arrived here, all that momentum going in the wrong direction, where would you put Kyle Shanahan kind of if you were power ranking head coaches? I mean, for my money, okay, I'll take Bill Belichick first still if we're doing the coach draft, but I think I'm taking Kyle Shanahan second.
I think he's top five. I certainly think he's top five. I don't think one really good season is enough, though, to have him leapfrog some of the other guys that have had sustained success. I mean, just off the top of my head, one guy I would put ahead of him is Doug Peterson from the Eagles, who won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, went to the divisional round the next year with a backup quarterback, and then this year went to the playoffs again and won a division. He had a starting quarterback, but everybody else was a backup. Everybody else actually was practice squad guys. So I think Kyle Shanahan's top five. I wouldn't go two yet.
All right. Well, I think if they win the Super Bowl, then he's got to be number two for me.
We'll see. I think he's still top five. I'm not,
right.
I'm not putting him all the way up. But let's see him stack it. Yeah, let's see how next year goes.
Respect.
I'm not big on 1 year.
Yeah.
I'm also not big on guys that just do it with one team or one quarterback.
Fair enough.
Like, I don't rank Belichick as high as other people do. I'm more impressed by a guy like Joe Gibbs, who won a Super Bowl with three different non Hall of Fame quarterbacks, went to the playoffs with six different quarterbacks. Stuff like that blows me away.
That's a gaudy resume. I like that. Hey, Ross, man, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, and we'll obviously be checking out your show and then that podcast, Even Money, as well. Thanks, brother.
See you, dudes.
All right, thanks, good Ross. Stuff. Ross Tucker. And, of course, that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. And, of course, Insider Calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And, of course, you can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home. His new show out now, Radio.com/home. Or just search the Radio.com app. And then the Even Money podcast, too, Tommy.
Do you think he's crushing an In-N-Out burger off the flight?
Yeah,
coming in from the East Coast.
Yeah, so he's coming in SFO style, and he's shooting down to Santa Clara. So we all know that trip. You're heading down 101, and there are a couple of In-N-Outs just like right there off
right
the freeway.
There. Yeah,
there's
easy,
one in Millbrae. Like, you know, if he was really hungry, be like, hit that Millbrae Ave off ramp. Let's hit that drive-thru.
I wanted to ask him if In-N-Out was the play, because I have to imagine getting off the flight. I'm a big In-N-Out stan, you know, especially not coming from the East Coast, not having it like we have access to.
Right.
That was the first question that came to mind.
Why is there no In-N-Out on the East Coast?
I don't know.
I mean, would think that it could get its footing pretty quickly.
Yeah. I know Whataburger is, that's big in like the South, right? And then like Shake Shack and things like that is an East Coast thing. But we have a Shake Shack out here now.
White Castle's nasty.
I've never been.
Period.
I mean,
anybody that thinks White Castle's fire doesn't know what a good burger is. White
Castle's y'all chicken.
I was very underwhelmed by Whataburger. I had it for the first time last year when I made a trip to Alabama. Was not impressed.
All right. 888-957-9570. Where are you at with this game right now for tomorrow? Is it the 49ers are a decided favorite, so anything less than a victory is a disappointment for you and damn near a failure, considering all the factors at play? Or is it, hey, look, man, this team's overachieved. Nobody thought the 49ers could be here this year. If they just go out and show up tomorrow and play well, even if they lose, I'm still going to feel pretty good about where this team's at.
I think right now, I almost would segue that as kind of like a long answer of right now, because you're the number one seed, you're hosting this game at home. But say if they do lose, I think you can have some perspective and go, wow, we're really ahead of schedule, what we accomplished with how things went. But it's going to take a loss to feel that way, if it makes sense, because I think the opportunity in front of you, I mean, Covey, a home field advantage in the playoffs. But then again, you're facing Aaron Rodgers. This is not Kirk Cousins, right? I think a loss to Kirk Cousins, you're thinking, wow, we really blew this. This was a failure. But this is a guy that's done it to everybody his whole career. So the 49ers could be next in line. They're going to have to be the dudes to step up, I think, in this situation.
Yeah, and you know, when you're the home team and you've got home field advantage and you're a 7.5-point favorite,
crazy,
regardless of all the other circumstances that got you here, that's why I think it's worth asking, because no Niner fan could have pictured being in this situation this year. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I knew they were going to be good this year. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like, show me the tweet. Like, show me the text. Okay, I want to see the transcript until I'm just going to sign off on that. But even despite the fact that you're so far ahead of schedule and this has been such a magical ride, these opportunities are fleeting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't come around
often.
And,
yeah,
you know, for Kyle Shanahan or Jimmy Garoppolo, this literally could be the only NFC title game you ever play in. This could be your only chance to go to the Super Bowl. Things just happen in the NFL. So despite the fact that you're ahead of schedule, you have to view it as do or die. This could be our only opportunity to ever do this.
And I think the Rams, right? They're the perfect example. The whole time you're talking about that, that's what flashes to my head, is the Rams, right? They were this team that looked like everything. I think last year, if we were talking, we would have asked Ross Tucker, is Sean McVay the second best coach in the NFL?
Funny,
right?
I was thinking that.
And it's crazy how things switch and how you look at them as the example. And I think the 49ers know. You're very familiar with the LA Rams, right? They know what they did. They did it in the 49ers' face last year, and there was always the comparison of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and even Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo. There was a lot of different parallels, and the Rams were kind of the first team to get that taste here right in front of the 49ers' face. So I think you're looking at that and say, we can't waste this, right?
Yeah,
this is so massive, because look at the Rams look like kind of a mess right now.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. You think about the NFC, and for many years, you know, the Patriots ruled the roost in the AFC every now and again. You know, a team like the Steelers might creep up and threaten the throne, but it was the Patriots' world and everybody else was living in it.
Yeah.
The NFC, I mean, there was, you know, multiple teams that have represented the Super Bowl, the Giants, the Saints, the Seahawks. I mean, just go down the list,
Eagles.
And so, but this year, more than any other year, the NFC just vulnerable to me. And, you know, so many things have broken in the Niners' favor this year. And stuff like that, just, it doesn't happen. Like, it's not a recurring theme in NFL. Like, everything has broken their way as far as health. You know, a lot of the guys that they lost, they got back. You had a quarterback coming off of a torn ACL. He's held up all year long.
Yeah.
You lose Jerick McKinnon. Guess what? You know,
Raheem Mostert's
been amazing.
Yeah.
Marquise Goodwin is a disappointment. Dante Pettis a disappointment. No problem. You go out and trade for Emmanuel Sanders. Debo Samuel's a stud. George Kittle has doubled down on his, you know, his rise to prominence.
It wasn't a one and done thing for George Kittle.
Right. And and then, you know, you look on the defensive side of the ball. Even the guys that they lost, Quan Alexander tears a pec. He's back. Like, D Ford has been dealing with issues all year. He's ready to go.
Got a sack last week.
49ers, that injury report, they're ready to go. Kyle Shanahan's like, my guys, they're suited up. George Kittle said the ankle feels fine. Oh, wait, how you feeling, George?
Describe the way your ankle feels.
I feel fabulous. Thanks for asking.
Right? I mean, let's go.
I feel fabulous. Thanks for asking.
He feels fabulous. Like, the whole team feels fabulous. So, you know, the Ravens are out. The Saints got eliminated. What more could you ask for?
It seems like what you're saying is the stars are aligning for the San Francisco 49ers, but there's still, to me, there's the Death Star, and that is Aaron Rodgers. I'll say it so many times today. I think that's what's going to be the most used word I use, is Aaron Rodgers. This guy doesn't miss twice, right? And he missed once, and so that's what's weighing on it, that you have to handle. It's like the final boss, right? If you're going through the NFC and you're playing a video game, Aaron Rodgers is that guy standing there at the end. That you're seeing his name flash as you keep knocking out guys,
Aaron Rodgers.
He's standing there at the end. You see that light flashing, like, all right, here it is. You don't have a second life, though, right? This is the game where you have to knock him out.
All right, how about this? Butch threw this at me last night. It was an insane stat. The last five teams that Aaron Rodgers has lost to in the playoffs, he also lost to in the regular season.
Wow.
Isn't that a crazy stat?
That's crazy.
Right? So Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's funny too when we talk about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, look, obviously the dude is, you could make a case like he's literally, you know, top three quarterback all time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
one
from
of the best
numbers
I've ever seen in my generation.
Without question. But I feel like, you know, at the age of 35 and, you know, he's had some injuries, a lot of the conversation around Aaron Rodgers is, well, he doesn't pump fear like he used to. And while over, you know, the course of a long season, I would probably say that's true. I mean, he had some hits and some misses along the way this year. And, and the fact that they had a really nice defense and a good running game, as Ross alluded to, was a big part of why the Packers are here in this game right now. But 60 minutes, one game, boy, he's still more than capable of coming in here and spoiling this party.
Yeah, I think, you know, watching Aaron Rodgers kind of religiously, I like watching him play football. I think he's ultra talented. And watching him, you know, against the Seattle Seahawks, you definitely see some things where you're like, man, Aaron Rodgers makes that throw. That's not the Aaron Rodgers we're really used to seeing. But at the same time, I think you just have to give him credit of just being that dude, being one of the best ever. He has to be kind of, his resume speaks for itself. And I wouldn't want to kind of take him lightly. And it's such a surprise to me because, you know, talking to 49er fans, following on Twitter, listening to the this station and hearing what they have to say about Aaron Rodgers. If I were to kind of rank last week against the Minnesota Vikings to this week against the Green Bay Packers, everybody seems to have taken the Vikings so much more seriously than the Packers, and that is just a shock to me.
I know, if you think about the quarterbacks. Let's go to Matt and Sanderfell. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got for us today?
Hey, guys. I actually want to sort of build on what you just said, and that's, yeah, everyone's sort of not taking the Packers as seriously. I think part of it's because the Niners, you know, boat raced them last time they played them, which doesn't really count. But I think if you look at Rodgers' play this year, I know he hasn't been asked to do as much, but if you look at the way he's played, he misses more throws, he's not as mobile, he doesn't like getting hit, he does not want to get hit. And that, I think, is going to be the issue for him in this game. I know he's great and talented and all that, but the thing that's different from him, as opposed to, say, Brady, as he's gotten older, is Brady will stand in there and take the shot. Rodgers, at least this season, from what I've watched, I watch a fair amount of the Packers.
Sure.
He really does not want to get hit. The other thing, though, is if the Niners win this game, great. I think even if they lose, it's a good season. But the tough out is the Chiefs, man. That is a tough, tough football team if that's what they end up looking at in 2 weeks if they win tomorrow.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. We got a long way to go between then and now and then. 888-957-9570. How dangerous do you feel Aaron Rodgers is at this point in his career? Is he capable of coming in and spoiling the party? And what if Jimmy just has to put up big-time numbers, i.e. that game in New Orleans? I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. I think the Niners defense is on schedule right now and really up for this football game. But if they have to trade touchdowns, can Jimmy go blow for blow with Aaron Rodgers? How are you feeling about this game? 888-957-9570. Mark Abanez will join us as well. More of your calls coming up right here, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Kovac.
Just here's Ryan Kovac. You know why?
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
That sorry,
was,
Tommy Cole.
Savage Joe. Joe's looking at me right now like, oh, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
No, that's our technical producer, Joe Spadoni, family member. And, no, he's at least trying to get the custom rejoins going on.
Yeah.
Right?
He has a very confused look on his face.
We do have a here's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call because you and I have done butcher shops together.
Yeah.
So it's in the system. Joe, we love you, baby. You're
that
good.
Was a personal insult to me, I feel like.
Yeah exactly. He's just taking shots at Tommy Call.
No, I respect it.
Tommy's in the building as well. Mark Abanez is going to join us in just a few minutes. 888-957-9570. At this stage in his career, 35 years old, how much does Aaron Rodgers scare you? I mean, there's a couple of guys to me that I feel like could spoil the party tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers, for sure, one of them. Aaron Jones is one of them.
Yeah.
Now, I've got him pretty low on the list. I don't think Aaron Jones, he's not a power back like Dalvin Cook. And, I mean, Dalvin Cook didn't want that work. Like, this 49ers defense is looking good right now. And so I don't see Aaron Jones. Maybe you get a little Jamal Williams because he's a little more of a physical back. But Davante Adams is on that list for me. If Davante Adams goes massive, you could be in trouble. And then the Smith brothers. I mean, outside of that, like, who's spoiling the party?
Yeah. I think Zaire Alexander is a guy to worry about because he's so sneaky with the interceptions and he makes big plays. And he's a very just sneaky player in my opinion. The second-year player out of Louisville, the corner for the Green Bay Packers, I think he's a stud. But, I mean, you bring up, I think, Zadarius is the guy that you really are worrying about. We were talking about this before the show that when you have a pass rusher who's doing it all at the right time, it's kind of like a running back, right? The hot hand kind of rises to the top, and it seems like Zadarius Smith right now is pitching a heater because that dude was all over the field against the Seattle Seahawks last week.
All right, let's go out to Andrew in San Carlos. Go ahead, Andrew. What do you got for us today?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, bro.
Guys. Anybody who doesn't take Green Bay more seriously than Minnesota really doesn't understand the game or these teams. Now, while we have to take every playoff team seriously, Minnesota backed into that game. New Orleans did not show up for their game. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is not a clutch quarterback. You stop Dalvin Cook and put the weight on Kirk Cousins to win that game, and he will fail.
Right.
You look at his statistics. He is not a clutch quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, is a clutch quarterback. He scares me. That guy figures out ways to win. Now, I have a high degree of confidence that we're going to win this game tomorrow because Seattle, an incredibly beaten-up team that had to go out and hire back two of their halfbacks for, you know, they hadn't played in over a year, almost beat them in Green Bay.
Right. Mm.
But we still need to take every playoff team seriously, and Green Bay much more seriously than Minnesota, in my opinion.
All right, good call, Andrew. And, I mean, if we're just talking about personnel at the quarterback position, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers in a walk-off. I think Minnesota's defense, just top to bottom at every level, scared me a little bit more. I mean, you know,
gotcha.
They got physical, agile linebackers. That secondary, they got a thumper at Harrison Smith, you know, a box guy. I know their safety or their corners hadn't been great, but, you know, that D line was stout. And, you know, I totally agree with Andrew. Like, the New Orleans Saints did not play well in that game. They're a finesse football team, and Minnesota exposed that in short order. When you throw in the Aaron Rodgers factor, that gives Green Bay the edge for me. But I honestly feel in my heart of hearts, pound for pound, like 1 through 53, Minnesota is a more talented team.
Wow.
But when it starts at the top with the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was just really surprised because I was on the air after Minnesota beat the Saints. And everybody was calling in, and I was kind of speaking to what our last caller said, that I just didn't think Kirk Cousins had it in. I was shocked that he won. I thought the Saints really beat themselves. Kirk Cousins did not beat the Saints. And a lot of people were kind of coming down our road saying, like, you know, you really have to watch for the Minnesota Vikings. They have a lot of talent on their team. Their offensive skill players are amazing. Their defense is stacked. And then I was on the air 1 week later after the 49ers beat, you know, the Vikings. We, Nash and I, did the post-game show the same night after the game Saturday night, and we started talking about who you'd rather play, and it was an overwhelming amount of people were saying the Packers because Aaron Rodgers isn't who he used to be. We beat them once. I mean, I'm starting to think that if you're a 49er fan right now, I think it would be best heading into that game tomorrow if you just kind of blip that last match out of your brain.
Yeah.
If you just try and forget about that thing, because if you watch that game, really everything kind of slanted perfectly towards the San Francisco 49ers. And this isn't a knock on them. I thought that was one of their best performances of the season, but that's just it. It was one of their best performances of the season, while the Green Bay Packers had probably one of their worst performances in that game here in Santa Clara. So, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice, right? Not everything's going to roll that way. So I think you just got to look at this as a new team going in kind of a different direction where it's still Aaron Rodgers. You're still facing a stud. They have some pass rushers. Just try your best to not think about that game, because I think it's going to distract you that if Aaron Rodgers does come out and strike, what, you know, right away, 7-0 to start the game, if they get the ball or something like that, you're going to be looking like, what just happened? Where that's just kind of who the Packers can be. We didn't get to see that last time they played here in Santa Clara.
Yeah, and it was funny. You know, you go back to that moment in time in the season, and it was the 49ers, you know, they'd lost to Seattle, so, you know, they had their first loss of the year, first time real questions had been asked, but then, you know, they were beginning that stretch of three straight games against teams at the time that had a record of 8-2, you know, it's Green Bay, and then you go on the road to Baltimore, and then on the road to New Orleans, and, you know, that was, to me, what really validated their stake to their claim. Well, and that stretch of three games, because even though they lost in Baltimore, I think they played well in that game, and, you know, Baltimore had been beating the brakes off everybody, and then, for the 49ers, went down to the final kick, and then obviously handling business in New Orleans and winning that game. It was that three-game stretch where I was like, okay, like, this team's for real. I felt like they were anyway, but, you know, you got to prove it against elite competition, and when they were able to do that, I started to take heed, and I almost felt like maybe the Packers weren't total believers in what the 49ers were doing at that point in the year, and, you know, we had Wayne Larrivee, their radio play-by-play guy, on last night, and, you know, he talked about when they went into San Diego, or L.A. against the Chargers a couple weeks earlier, they didn't play well either. And, you know, maybe having a little too much fun out on the road. You're coming from Wisconsin out here to California, and, you know, you got to remind yourself this is a business trip, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of guys that, you know, had Bay Area ties, so maybe there was maybe not the focus on a football game that they needed, whereas the 49ers, it was, man, we're finally playing against a team that, you know, has a little cachet around the league.
Yeah.
This is our chance to say, no, we're here. It was national television. It was Aaron Rodgers, and they took that opportunity and ran with it.
And think about Aaron Rodgers in that game, you know, 20 for 30. 3, 104 yards.
Career low for any game he finished.
Yeah, horrible. A horrible performance for him by his standards of what he could do. Going into that game, I think we talked before it too, and I was like, you're going to get to see Aaron Rodgers versus this daunting 49ers defense. He's the guy that can make this whole thing explode. And for how they treated him, how they got to him in 5 sacks, I mean, really just battered him. Even, you know, the plays that he wasn't getting sacks, they're all in his grill the whole time, every time he dropped back. And I just think you have to say, hey, you know, if we can get half of that, if we can get half that performance here in the playoffs from Aaron Rodgers, that's a win, right? Because I don't think you're going to be able to recreate that twice. That would be a dramatic, incredible performance from Robert Saleh scheming-wise.
Would it surprise you if the 49ers blew out the Packers tomorrow? Would that surprise you?
It would.
Really?
That's why I'm surprised, I think, that of the 7.5-point spread. I mean, just as much as we talked about the Minnesota Vikings being the 6th seed for a reason, that's why you didn't necessarily have to worry about them as much. That's why I thought that game was going to be a blowout. The Green Bay Packers are the 2 seed for a reason against teams like the New Orleans Saints and the other teams, the Seattle Seahawks. They're the 2 seed for a reason.
All right, let's go to Greg out in Walnut Creek. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm sure it's been said this morning a few times, but I just have a stinking feeling in 31 hours we're going to be going, darn, we shouldn't have taken them so lightly. This is Aaron Rodgers. This isn't he's premier, okay, and he's been eerily silent, I think, the past few weeks. He's at his age, 35 or 36.
35, yeah.
Nothing he wants more than a victory tomorrow. And I think they think that the 49ers have lost their hunger. I just feel a sense of hunger the last 6 weeks.
Really?
We're ascending.
Wow.
We're going to greatness, but now we've sort of like, gee, we've arrived. We are great.
Mm. Okay, thanks for the call, Greg. I appreciate it. It's an interesting perspective. Now, it's one thing to talk about, you know, what the fans and what sports talk show hosts are saying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do. That's all we can do is talk about this game because we're not playing in it. For the players, it's something totally different. And that's where you have to have a little bit of trust and faith in Kyle Shanahan, in Richard Sherman, in Joe Staley, the veterans, the leaders of this football team that won't allow that to happen, won't let that decrease.
Yeah.
There is no level of complacency. If you're Kyle Shanahan, the message is, hey, we're here. That's great. All it is an opportunity. That's it. That's all you've done. You've earned an opportunity to play a football game, but essentially, you've won nothing.
Yeah.
They don't hang NFC West champion banners around here. Nobody cares about that. If you win the NFC, now we can have a conversation. Go to the Super Bowl, then we can talk. Mm-hmm. And I think for Kyle Shanahan, that's got to be the message, and I believe it will be. When have they not shown up this year?
Yeah.
Right? When have you saw them, they were flat. The Pittsburgh game, maybe they were a little flat.
I couldn't disagree with, you know, the last caller more. I think, Greg, you know, I appreciate the call, but I think he was way off with what he said at the end there, because if there was any game that they were going to let down, it would be this last game, because they're coming off a monumental emotional win against the Seattle Seahawks that came down to the wire. You have a whole week off to just chill kind of and look at, and you're playing the Minnesota Vikings, the 6th seed. They went out there 5 of 6, 57 yards from Jimmy Garoppolo, a touchdown on the first drive, really punched them in the face and kind of beat them down in my opinion, that was domination, the way they ran the football.
No question.
And really smacked them around and kind of asserted their dominance. To me, in my opinion, where if there was any hesitation that this team was kind of feeling themselves a little bit, you would have seen it last week, because look what Minnesota did to the Saints, right? If you're going to look at any team in the NFC that was kind of feeling themselves a little bit, it was probably the Saints, who kind of walked into that first game and got beat, got surprised by the Minnesota Vikings. That did not happen to the 49ers. And then you hear your boy Richard Sherman talking after the game, kind of talking all the noise, calling out the haters. I don't think him, of all people, is going to let anybody in that locker room kind of take a deep breath.
Yeah, there's a veil of humility over this 49ers football team. And I think they're acutely aware of, hey, it's been a nice run so far. We've won some football games. We've turned the tides of the direction of this franchise. But essentially, we've won absolutely nothing. Joining us now on the line, our good buddy Mark Abanez from KTVU. You know him. You love him. Let me ask you this, Mark, and I appreciate you coming on. It's Tommy Call and myself, Ryan Covey. Do you feel like this 49ers team has because it's a 7.5 point spread, do you feel like there might be a feeling of overconfidence coming into this Green Bay game? I know amongst the fan base there is, but that doesn't necessarily mean that resonates in that locker room at all.
No, I think those guys are professional enough, and you have enough veterans in there to smooth things over. And yeah, I think we all know there's a fine line between being loose and confident and maybe being way too overconfident. And I think they know how to straddle it properly. I think they've seen enough and been around enough to know that just because they won in lopsided fashion in the first meeting in the regular season, that doesn't translate into anything, really. And as I was talking to Harris Barton, a longtime offensive lineman back in the day, and he was saying, if anything, that's an advantage for the Packers to have been beaten like that, because they can go back and look at tape and kind of review and try and shore things up and realize what they did wrong to correct those things. So if you're thinking, just because they stomped these guys the first time, that's an automatic. I think that's far from the players' minds. Realistically, I think they have it more together than that.
Mark, before we look ahead to this game, just how you're feeling in this moment about the San Francisco 49ers team. You've seen a lot of San Francisco 49ers football during your time in the Bay Area. Where does this specific team rank? You know, you've seen the teams to make it to the Super Bowl. Does this team have that?
I think they certainly have the potential. They haven't won anything yet. And I think we see what potential can get you in when it's fulfilled in the early 80s and the 94 team. And they were always in contention. And winning the Super Bowl obviously doesn't always mean that, you know, you're not a successful team or a franchise, but it's the ultimate payoff. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like the Harbaugh years, a lot of potential there, but they never won anything. And it quickly degenerated. But with this team, I see a lot of similarities between the teams that were able to sustain success and be continual winners and always challenging. Obviously, you're not going to win it every year, but the point is, like Seattle, up and down years, but they're always contending, even with injuries. And it's a culture that has to be sustained, and a type of player that you draft and a type of player that you get out there on the free agent market and sign. And I think a lot of credit has to go to John Lynch for deciding the kind of people that he wants to surround himself with, both on and off the field, and what Kyle Shanahan does as a teacher and a coach to bring along the kind of players he has in mind. So I really feel good about the way that this franchise is headed. All the positive signs are there. When, you know, for instance, in the Harbaugh years, they had a lot of success, but that whole thing with who's got it better than us, you could actually see by year two and three when they'd show the video inside the locker room, guys were like, all right, how many years are we going to do this thing, man? It was cool the first year. And what Harbaugh does not perpetuate itself into long-term success, and I think he's proved that over and over again. So I feel good about this reign of success as opposed to the last one.
Talking to Mark Abanez, KTVU here on 95.7 The Game, Ryan Covey and Tommy Call. Playing at home, is that extra pressure for the 49ers? I mean, when they've gone on the road this year, I think they've had a very business-like demeanor. And getting a taste of it last week, I think, will go a long way towards knowing what to expect. But, hey, knowing you're 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl, and, you know, if things don't start out well, Mark, then, you know, things can get a little tight. You think playing at home in an NFC title game is a true home field advantage?
Well, first of all, the hallmark of those great teams that won a cumulative 5 Super Bowls was always being able to take care of their business on the road and having that us against the world mentality and go in there, take care of things, and be able to prove you can win on the road. And I think this team, again, has shown a lot of similarities to that. But they also worked real hard, and by the skin of their teeth, they earned the first round bye. And obviously the home field all the way through. And I think we saw great evidence of that last week, because you could see the Minnesota Vikings were worn down by the third quarter. You could start to see those signs of fatigue and just being battled, and that's from traveling, you know, having a war with New Orleans that went into overtime, and then, you know, and then traveling again. And I think we could see the same thing happen with the Packers. They had a rugged Sunday night game. Even that extra little day of rest for the 49ers could help them long-term. But I think it's important, as you mentioned, to get off to a good start. But as far as extra pressure, I don't think that they're going to put that on themselves. They know these guys are professional, and I think they're schooled up even better than the teams in the old days. And, you know, and they know what's at stake here. And, you know, the crowd's going to be into it. But you're right. Getting off to a good start, man, is really important. And a lot of those guys don't have the experience with coming back from a deficit in this magnitude of a game. And I'm sure that's one of the game plans of the Packers is, you know, protect the ball, make sure to get off to a quick start, because that's the antithesis of what happened to them. You know, the first, wasn't it, the second play from scrimmage, they got to Rodgers and turned it into a quick 49er touchdown. So they're going to try and stay away from the early deficit, because the Packers get in trouble, big trouble, when they have to fight back from a deficit. So that's the key. Quick start, early lead.
Mark, Ryan and I have been kind of kicking around since the show started how much we fear Aaron Rodgers. Does he still scare you like maybe the Aaron Rodgers of even 3 years ago, 2 years ago? How serious are you taking him specifically in the game? Is he kind of that ultimate key that if you take him, you know, if he does his thing, this could result in a 49ers loss?
Oh, man, you'd have to be a complete fool to underestimate Aaron Rodgers, even at his age. I mean, the experience, the know-how, and what do they call that? I heard a couple of the 49ers, I think DeForest Buckner this past week, called it the risk flick from hell. You know, where
he, I love that.
Yeah, and he just, you know, I mean, some of those throws last week, particularly on third down late, I mean, if you watch the slow-mo replay, it's like a guy throwing darts. I mean, the precision and the accuracy and, you know, bring along with it the experience to know how to read certain situations and have that calm when, you know, it feels like everything else is falling apart around you. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers brings to the party. And then you add the little X factor of him feeling snubbed from way back when. If anybody thinks that's gone away, I really doubt it. And you guys probably heard that famous quote where he said, you know, do you...
Oh, hey, Mark, I got it for you right here. Hang on.
How disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er?
Not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me.
Boom.
Right. Exactly. And I think that will always stick in his craw. But conversely, think of this, guys. If the Niners do win and deny Aaron Rodgers this shot at the Super Bowl, imagine that. Two major dreams smashed by the 49ers. I mean, you know he wanted to play for the 49ers when he was drafted in 2005 by the Packers, and then you know how badly he wants a Super Bowl at this latter stage of his career. So he'll be out, man. Everything that guy has left will be on exhibit tomorrow, and I'm sure the 49ers are not going to underestimate that guy. Still very nice powers of control and accuracy.
Hear, hear. You know, Mark, a lot of GMs and, you know, faces of franchises will tell you, we want to draft guy, high-character guys. We want to bring in high-quality individuals as well as great players. But really, in so many instances, winning trumps all. I mean, look no further than guys like Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt being on NFL rosters. But I do feel like the 49ers, when they say that, that's not just podium speak. That's something that they've actually tried to do. And I think we can see the results of that, which is this is a pretty good group of dudes. And they actually, there is some real chemistry in that locker room. How far in 2020 sports, Mark, where it's so much about the individual nowadays, even in a team sport, how far do you think that can carry a team? And do you really think it can make a tangible difference?
I think it makes a huge difference. I know, for instance, the philosophy of Billy Beane in baseball is he says winning creates chemistry. But, you know, while that is true, two things can be equally true, as a great man once said, you know. And I think that, yeah, winning helps your chemistry, but you have to have the right guys around. And, you know, we all know that draft day is not an exact science, and the 49ers, for the most part, have done well and have drafted high-character guys, but you're going to have strikeouts, like Reuben Foster was a big whiff, and there are other guys along the line that have created issues. But by and the large part, I mean, the 49ers, you can sense it. You walk into that locker room, and you see the way they're reacting. And trust me, I've been in on the other end of that during the dog years of Dennis Erickson and Mike Nolan. And, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in there, and everybody seemed uptight. And there was a certain culture. You walk in there, and you sense loser. You just don't sense. A winning locker room, a successful and winner locker room, has a certain taste and feel to it. I think that's very tangible, and I sense that in large degree with the 49ers for sure. And you could go across the bay. I don't care what John Gruden says at that press conference every Monday. That's a loser's locker room. You walk in there and you can feel it. You can just sense it. There's just a dark, overwhelming cast to the place, and the 49ers at one time had that same feel. You've been around a while, you can taste it, you can see it in all sports, what the locker room just feels like.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I know you've been around too, Mark. Hey, I appreciate it. On your way out, Niners get this done tomorrow in your estimation?
30-17, baby.
Lock it in. All right, hey, Mark, you're the best. Thanks, brother.
All right, you guys. Always a pleasure being on with you guys. Have a great weekend, and let's hope we all can get together in Miami in a couple weeks or so, right?
Here, here. Send me my ticket. Appreciate you, brother.
Sir.
All right, Mark Abagna is truly one of the good dudes out there, man. I always love talking to Mark and just real thoughtful answers. You know what? I was thinking, and I want to talk about this on the other side at 888-957-9570. How you feeling about Jed York and the York ownership right now? If this team goes to the Super Bowl, if they get the job done tomorrow, it'll be 3 years. He gave Shanahan and Lynch six-year deals and just faded into the background a bit. We're not seeing Jed doing a whole hell of a lot talking about the ongoings of the football team on the field. Yeah, like Jed's taking a step back. If this football team, I want to hear from guys like people that paid for PSLs and have filled up Levi Stadium and watched the Chip Kelly teams, watched the Jim Tom Sula teams, watched the depletion after Harbaugh and the disintegration of this franchise. How you feeling about Jed York right now? And would a trip to the Super Bowl even enhance maybe some of the ways that you're starting to change your viewpoint of Jed York? We'll talk about that, and we'll get into a little bit more of the matchups coming up. Tommy Call, Ryan Covey, this is 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.